bloomberg.com.
This is the Bloomberg Advantage with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson on Bloomberg Radio.
You know where this is going. We're talking about It Certainly Takes Two to Make a Deal Happen. And
is
we've been
Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell?
I believe it was. Taking you back there a little bit. M&A, we've been taking a look at what's going on in the deal-making world, especially in light of kind of uncertainty coming off of the Brexit vote and just kind of a global malaise, if you will. And our next guest, the next firm that he works at, ranking number one when it comes to value for global M&A in the first quarter of this year for advising on about 56 announced deals, totaling more than $150 billion, according to our data. John Reese is
Hi,
with
Carol.
Us. Hi, Global Head of M&A over at White & Case. So nice to have you here with Corey and myself.
Thank you very much for having me.
We do, John. I feel like we're trying to take the temperature of what's going on in the M&A world. From your vantage point, are people holding back dramatically? Because, first of all, let's talk about the Brexit vote.
I think the fears of Brexit impacting the global M&A market are overstated. It's very new right now. It's about 6 or 7 days after Brexit. We saw the stock market drop precipitously for 3 or 4 days and then came back exactly to where it was before Brexit. In the last 2 days, we've seen the decline. We closed 7 deals in the New York office on Thursday and Friday of last week. And I think what you have to recognize is while Brexit is very important for a lot of different reasons, for a lot of different countries and a lot of different companies, the fact is a large percentage of global M&A is only tangentially connected to the UK. We close deals where a small part of the business is in the UK.
Yeah.
The business has good strategic value. The value hasn't changed all that much. And the impact of some negativity in the UK is not going to stop those deals from happening. Now, you can see sort of three different types of deals when Brexit was announced. Number one, the deals that were already signed up. By and large, the deals that were already signed up, it's very difficult to get out of a deal once it's been signed up. There's some examples, and we see some data that there's a reasonable number of deals that have been terminated. Those deals are small within the population of deal making. The fact is, it's very hard to get out of a deal. So any deal that was signed up before Brexit was going to get done. Then you have the deals that are in the process of getting negotiated. And I must say, the day after the vote, people said, let's just step back for a few days,
let
a few weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
But the fact is, this is not going to be resolved in the near term. And it strikes me that the biggest impact on M&A activity from the Brexit vote is for transactions in businesses that are heavily, heavily UK. So, for example, the construction industry in the UK.
Right.
And the effect on the pound is going to have to be taken into account because many big businesses have some more or less exposure to the pound. But I think the overall fears of Brexit, and I've read some commentators saying M&A in Europe is going to stop. I think that's quite overstated.
And yet we have this you know, that it'll stop. I would agree that would be overstated. But, you know, we had this Citibank note out about Apple today saying that just the pause in activity is going to hurt them for a quarter. And I wonder if some of these deals that sort of march ahead and march ahead maybe kind of slow down and maybe just die out of inertia because the deals aren't going to happen now with the uncertainty, and then they'll just kind of fall off. I mean, does that kind of thing happen in M&A where once people cooler heads prevail?
I think that's actually a really good question, because what we talk about in M&A is the importance of momentum. What happens when you lose momentum? What happens when people start to get slightly scared of their shadow? That being said, I think most deals ultimately are driven for very good strategic reasons. And as I said, absent heavy exposure to the UK, after taking into account the impact of the pound, I think deal activity is going to continue.
How much, I mean, you deal with all of these senior executives and the C-suite. I'm just curious, John, you know, we've gotten so used to tremors, I feel like, coming off of the financial crisis, that it might make us stop for a moment and the markets may sell off, but they bounce back and we're like, okay, we got to go on with business, because I'm seeing things cross the headlines. People are making decisions at companies. They're moving on.
Absolutely. We've had probably in the last, what, 7 or 8 months, at least two or three dramatic declines in the stock market where people said, what's going to happen? And we're right back to 18,000. Now, what I find interesting is some people talk about opportunities when things crash or when or things like that. I actually think that what we've seen over time, back to 2007, 2008, people said stock markets crash, there's going to be a lot of buyers. The fact is, the only way you get transactions done is when you have a eager buyer and an eager seller. It seems to me we usually have eager buyers because there's so much money around. You do need confidence. You do need the stock market at a good place for people to have confidence. When the stock market drops, that normally doesn't immediately affect the confidence of the executives. It frequently makes them look at it opportunistically, but you don't have sellers because sellers still remember the stock market being at 18,000. They don't want to sell at 16,000. The only opportunities that come in those circumstances are truly distressed assets.
So, you know, as this moves forward, are there some tax deals that make less sense now as a result of Brexit, or we just don't know because we don't know what the tax regime is going to be?
Really good question, and I think the answer is we don't know. There's so much we don't know, and it's going to take so long for this to play out. That's why I think at the end of the day, as you just said, Carol, people are going to sort of step back for some short period of time, I think, and are going to keep doing their important deals.
So we've only got about 40 seconds left here, John. I'm just thinking to our listeners who are thinking about, I mean, there's always opportunity when there's M&A or deal making going on. What industries do you see a lot of movement and activity right now?
Well, I think Corey's specialty, I mean, he's much more expert in this than I am, technology. Technology is a huge growth industry from every perspective you can look at. And it's going to continue to be a growth industry from both an organic perspective and an inorganic perspective through acquisitions. I think healthcare, broadly defined, and that's
again,
a very
continuation of it.
Right. I mean, you know, 20% of the U.S. economy is healthcare. That is going to be big M&A activity, and you're going to see energy broadly defined, utilities, oil and gas, things like that.
Are you doing a lot in energy right now?
Yes, we're doing a lot.
Distressed?
Some distressed, but again, it's really hard to do distressed deals.
Okay, interesting. John, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate
it. Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you for having me.
Great
thank you, Corey.
John Reese, Global Head of M&A over at White & Case, joining us right here in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. This is Bloomberg.